From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show, named Best Radio Show in the Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards for Excellence. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Frenzy coming up here in the final hour of the Bill Michaels Show. I'm Bill Michaels, Radio Joe Zanzola across from me today. Thanks so much for taking a listen to us. Get to the Frenzy momentarily. Hey, if you're struggling with ED, don't be deceived by all the noise out there about the pills. This pill, that pill, doesn't matter. ED can be caused by many underlying health issues, just normal aging even. The problem, the pills, they don't get to the root of the problem and have some nasty side effects. Call the medical experts at Neumel Medical Center. They're going to create an ED solution especially for you, and you're going to see the results in your first visit, or that visit is free. And if you're sluggish, you're moody, you're foggy, you could have some low T. I'd had it. Thanks to Neumel. Plenty of energy to get through my crazy busy life and schedule. And if you want to shed some pounds, my friends, check out Neumel's all-in-one weight loss program. Down over 50 pounds, keeping it off, feeling great, feeling younger. Get back in the game, guys. Just call Neumel Medical Center. 414-455-4451. 414-455-4451 today. Let's frenzy, shall we?
Another big football weekend.
Rodgers, wide open first down, caught.
Time to look around the rest of the league.
Caught, touchdown, Detroit Lions, Kenny Galladay, and rookie, welcome to the game.
Once Antonio Brown throws it underneath, touchdown.
This is the Football Frenzy on the Bill Michaels Show.
Inside the five, Riddick at the two, Riddick to the end zone, touchdown, Detroit Lions.
Harry again, got home. Fourth down.
Brought to you by the Wisconsin Laborers District Council. They train, you gain.
Trying to get them with 12 men on the field, and they may have.
For apprenticeship info and the location of the local near you, go to wylaborers.org.
All right, here we go. You go back to Thursday night. Chargers, Chiefs, Mike Williams, the game-winning two-pointer.
Shotgun snap, Rivers rolls to the right, throws to the end zone, caught! It's good! It's good! Mike Williams with the grab. Chargers lead 29-28.
Chargers Radio Network, they get the win 29-28. That's the final in Kansas City. Both of those AFC teams now stand at 11-3. Chargers having the head-to-head nod in that contest. Then we continue to move on. You got some Saturday games. Cleveland over Denver. Antonio Callaway, the two-yard catch from Baker Mayfield.
Landry slot right, Higgins wide right. Mayfield charges up to the line, slaps his hands into the shotgun with the Duke on his left hip. He wants the ball. He's got the ball. He's looking left. He throws, end zone, touchdown. It's Callaway, and the Browns lead with 11:44 to go in the game.
Two touchdowns for Baker Mayfield. That was one of them. Other one, a 31-yarder to Perriman. Baker Mayfield, 18 of 31, 188 yards, a couple of touchdowns, one pick, 83.8 quarterback rating. But don't look now on the Cleveland Browns Radio Network. They're now sitting, dare I say it? They've got six wins on the season. Cleveland, 6-7-1. I'm not kidding. Broncos go to 6-8 on the season as well. The other game on Saturday night, Houston takes on the Jets. DeAndre Hopkins, 14-yard touchdown catch from Watson.
Blue in the backfield. Hopkins left side. Thomas to the right. Watson looks it over. Under center. Fakes the handoff. Throwing left side. Wants DeAndre Hopkins. And Nuke with the TD catch. Oh, my goodness. He hauls it in.
Texans Radio Network. Texans 29-22. The final. They go to 10-4. Jets go to 4-10 on the season. In the meantime, statistically, Sam Darnold, 24-38, 253 yards and a couple of touchdowns. Solid day, but Deshaun Watson, even better. 22 of 28, 294 yards, a couple of touchdowns. His longest being a 50-yarder on the day. Threw a 45-yard touchdown pass to Hopkins there as well. 134.2 quarterback rating. Hopkins, 10 catches, 170 yards. And a couple of touchdowns. Solid performance as the Houston Texans continue to trudge on, getting the win again, 29-22. Now we're into Sunday. Atlanta over Arizona. Julio Jones, a 21-yard touchdown reception.
Here's Ryan. Pressure coming. Going to take the next shot. That's Jones, and it's caught against Patrick Peterson for the Atlanta touchdown.
On the Atlanta Falcons radio network, figured they'd get a win. 5-9 now on the season, 40-14. They knock off the Arizona Cardinals. Then you've got Buffalo, Detroit, 14-13 over Detroit. Robert Foster, a 42-yard touchdown reception from Josh Allen.
Allen takes a look, standing in the pocket, fires it downfield, looking for Foster, makes the catch at the 5, heading into the end zone, and he is in. Touchdown! Touchdown! 42 yards! Robert Foster.
There you go. Buffalo Bills Radio Network, the long touchdown of the day from Allen to Foster. 13-26, 204 yards, sacked one time, but that touchdown right there made the difference. 89.3 quarterback rating. Matthew Stafford, solid day. 22-29, 208 yards, a touchdown, a 106.7 quarterback rating. Galladay, 7 catches, 146 yards, but did not dent the end zone. He averaged 20.9 yards per catch. For the losing Detroit Lions. That's right, losing Detroit Lions in that contest. They ended up falling 14-13 to the Buffalo Bills on the Buffalo Bills radio network. Cincinnati beats Oakland. Joe Mixon, a guy that came into the league with a lot of controversy, but he runs for a 15-yarder here.
Bengals up by 7, 4:10 left. Here's a toss sweep. Mixon with blockers in front.
Go,
he's
Joe.
To the 10, yeah. The 5, to Woo. The pylon.
Yeah.
Touchdown, yeah. Bengals! As Joe Mixon sprints 15 yards.
With the PAT, that made it 30-16, and that's the way that game ended. On the Cincinnati Bengals radio network, Dan Horn and screaming in the background, Dave Lapham there. Carr goes 21 of 38, 263 yards for the Raiders. Has one touchdown, not a bad day. Jordy Nelson, 6 catches, 88 yards, did not dent the end zone. Jared Cook, though, a couple of catches, 23 yards on the afternoon. But it was the Bengals and Driscoll who goes 14 of 33, 130 yards, one touchdown, one pick, 51.3 quarterback rating. But it was Joe Mixon rushing for 129 yards and a couple of touchdowns. He was the difference in that ball game. Then you continue on. You've got Indianapolis beats Dallas. Yep, beats Dallas. Marlon Mack with a 6-yard touchdown run.
And they'll hand it off to Mack. He's at the 5. He's in the end zone. Touchdown, Marlon Mack. His second rushing touchdown today. That one from 6 yards away in a pay dirt.
In a pay dirt, Colts Radio Network. Colts go to 8-6. They shut out the Dallas Cowboys. Zippo, 0, nada. Not a great day for Dallas. Dak Prescott, 24-39, 206 yards. He threw a pick, didn't dent the end zone. Ezekiel Elliott, 18 carries, 87 yards. Not a bad day. Couldn't get into the end zone. Just couldn't do it. Andrew Luck, 16-27, 192 yards. He didn't throw one into the end zone either. Mack did all the damage with a couple of carries, 27 of them, as a matter of fact, but 2 touchdown carries, 139 yards on the afternoon. So that's the way that thing ended. Then you've got Minnesota over Miami. It was a beatdown up at US Bank Stadium. Aldrick Robinson, a 40-yard touchdown catch.
Cousins back to pass. Deep shot. Robinson, yes! Touchdown! Robinson.
That is Paul Allen on the Minnesota Vikings radio network. 41-17. That's the way that one ended. Kirk Cousins, 14 of 21, 215 yards, a couple of touchdowns, one pick on the day. Dalvin Cook finally got his 19 carries, 136 yards, and 2 touchdowns.
7 Are you kidding
I'm
me?
I'm not kidding. How are we looking? They get a win, and their win, coupled with the Packers' loss, ended the Green Bay Packers' postseason hopes, unfortunately. Tennessee takes on the New York Giants. Derrick Henry with a 1-yard touchdown run.
Gives it to Henry to the right. Nice cut. He goes in standing up. Touchdown, Titans! Derrick Henry with 2 on the day.
Derrick Henry, 17-0. The Titans go to 8-6. The Giants get blanked. They go to 5-9 on the season. You've got Eli Manning, 21 of 44, 229 yards, did throw a pick, sacked 3 times. They had some good pressure on him, only a 54.1 quarterback rating. Marcus Mariota, 12 of 20, 88 yards. Derrick Henry, 1 pass on the day, 6 yards. Just thought I'd throw it in there. Derrick Henry, by the way, 33 rushing attempts, 170 yards, and a couple of touchdowns. If you had him in fantasy, you are living the good life. There you have it. That's on the Tennessee Titans radio network. Washington over Jacksonville. Jeremy Sprinkle, 6-yard touchdown catch from Josh Johnson.
Quick snap. Johnson fires it out. It is caught.
Jeremy Sprinkle to the pylon. Redskins touchdown. That is a gutsy drive by the Redskins offense.
16-13, Redskins get the win. Anybody with the name Sprinkle better be tough. 7-7, the Redskins are. 4-10, the Jacksonville Jaguars. That was on the Redskins radio network. And then you've got Baltimore. They get a win over Tampa Bay. Gus Edwards with the Gus the Bus runs it for 10.
Give us a Gus Edwards right up the middle. Big hole. Edwards in for the touchdown. And the Ravens put together a touchdown drive right out of the gate to open up the second half and extend their lead.
Baltimore Ravens, a radio network, 20-12. That's the way things ended. Edwards, 19 carries, 104 yards, and a touchdown right there. Jackson, he goes 14 of 23, 131 yards, and a touchdown pass. Sacked only twice. No Joe Flacco in this one. Jameis Winston, 13 of 25, 157 yards. Goes to Marvin Evans, who catches it four times, 121 yards, but does not dent the end zone. There you have it. In addition, we've got more. San Francisco and Seattle. Ricky James, a 97-yard kickoff return to the house.
Kickoff goes again to the right side of the field for Richie James from the 3-yard line up the right side, outside the numbers, all the way to the 30. May break it in the open field, 50. James gets by Janikowski to the 30, to the 20. Home run, Richie James. Touchdown, 49ers. The 49ers answer on special teams. Richie James takes it to the house up the right side of the field the whole way.
That came right after Seattle had scored, missed the PAT. With the PAT, James makes it 7-0, and it went on from there as, you've got it right, in overtime, San Francisco gets the win. You got Russell Wilson, 23 of 31, 237 yards and a couple of touchdowns. Really solid day. Mullins goes 20 of 29, 275 yards and a touchdown. A really solid day. The difference in the special teams and the kicking game, that was on the 49ers radio network, who get the win 26-23. Then you've got Pittsburgh. Antonio Brown with a catch for Big Ben, 17 yards.
Three wides to the left. Empty set for Ben again. Gets the snap. Four-man rush. He waits. He fires it for the end zone. Marker down. Touchdown, Antonio Brown.
Antonio Brown pulls one in. That made it 14-7 with the PAT, and they went on to win 17-10 over the New England Patriots, shaking a little rust off after losing three straight. They come back in a big way and knock off Tom Brady and company. Ben Roethlisberger, 22 of 34, 235 yards, a couple of touchdowns, but a couple of picks on the day as well. Tom Brady threw a pick as well and a touchdown, 25 of 36, 279 yards. Julian Edelman, 7 catches, 90 yards. You've got Antonio Brown, only 4 catches, 49 yards, targeted 7 times on the day, but had the touchdown right there. And that was on the Pittsburgh Steelers radio network. Then you've got Philadelphia over the L.A. Rams. Wendell Smallwood gets the 4-yard touchdown run.
Oh, gives it to Smallwood. Up the middle it goes. He's in. Touchdown. His second of the night.
Touchdown. Second of the night. 30-23. Eagles get the win. They go to 7-7. Rams now 11-3 on the season. They are still one of the best teams in the NFC, but right now you've got the top spot going to the New Orleans Saints, who also played last night. Saints going to win 12-9, and in last night's ball game, McCaffrey to Matt Hurts. Here it is.
Cam Newton fakes to McCaffrey. No, gives it to McCaffrey, who's going to throw. Got a wide-open Matt Hurts down the numbers, near sideline. 20, 15, 10, 5, a touchdown.
Whoa.
They did not see that coming at all.
They got like 10 people at the line of scrimmage. They get the ball to McCaffrey, and who of all people just catch the ball?
All you got to do is catch the ball. That's it. McCaffrey, one pass, 50 yards, touchdown. There you have it. That's it. Throws to Matt Hurts, who has one catch on the day, 50 yards for a touchdown. Although it was a losing effort. As I had mentioned, it was a losing effort in that ball game. And you got the New Orleans Saints that go on to win the ball game. That was the Carolina Panthers radio network. But Carolina on the season now. Carolina, they ended up falling in that contest. And their record goes to 6-8. Saints now atop the NFC at 12-12. And that is your frenzy. More of the Bill Michaels Show. Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst, coming up next.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Need the latest news and analysis on your green and gold? Well, we better call Paul.
Green and gold analyst Paul Immig is brought to you by Sprinkler Fitters Local 183, protecting life and property in Wisconsin since 1906. For career opportunities, go to sprinklerfitters183.org.
Welcome back. We continue on. I'm Bill Michaels, Radio Joe across the way. Thanks so much, as always, for taking a listen to us. We certainly appreciate it. Hey, I want to remind you that our friends at Van Horn Automotive, they are the home of the 90-day test drive, and that's where I went. I ended up going to the truck center in Plymouth, and I was looking for a luxury car, something that, you know, nice to drive, comfortable, big enough for everything I need to do. And then I kind of started thinking, maybe a truck, maybe a pickup truck. I've never had a pickup truck. I'd like to move some things. We were moving at the time, Christmas trees, all that kind of stuff, and I found a luxury car wrapped in a pickup truck, a Dodge Ram 1500, and I'm driving it for 90 days. If I didn't like it, I could take it back, but I'm keeping it. I love it. The family loves it. All you got to do is check out Van Horn Truck Center, vanhornautomotive.com, for any of the cars that qualify for the 90-day test drive. All you have to do is go to vanhornauto.com. That's vanhornauto.com, whether it's Stoughton or Manitowoc or the Plymouth Center, or anything in between for that matter. Just check out vanhornauto.com. Again, that's vanhornauto.com, and see what qualifies for the 90-day test drive. And don't forget, they service all makes, all models, imports, domestics, whatever it may be, and they have service specials. Go in, check it out. Great people there as well. And every employee is not an employee. They are all owners. It is the vanhornauto.com site that I went to and found exactly what it is I wanted, and you can too. It's that simple. Bring him in now, Paul Immig, our green and gold analyst. Hello, Paul. How you doing?
Hey, Bill, how are you? I'm doing well.
So, we have been talking about Aaron Rodgers for a while. I'll start there, and then I'm going to move on. But now it seems like everybody is starting to climb on board. Obviously, the Leroy Butler tweet is getting a lot of traction. But it seems like everybody's now starting to look at this and go, wait a minute, something just is not right here.
Yeah, I saw your teaser tweet earlier today that Joe had published on the fan account in Milwaukee, and it was, you know, for your 10 o'clock hour. So has Rodgers been great, good, bad, terrible, or something else? And I think by Rodgers' standards, he's been bad. Not terrible, but bad by Aaron Rodgers' standards. By NFL quarterback standards, he's been average. And, you know, some teams can get by with average quarterback play. Chicago Bears, I think, are getting average to maybe slightly above average, but probably average quarterback play. But that's because the team isn't built around Trubisky being elite, you know. And there are examples of that across the league where you don't necessarily need elite quarterback play to get what you need out of it. So when the Packers are paying 16% of the cap, whatever it is, on average to Rodgers, and you're getting average quarterback play, which by his standards is bad quarterback play, by the Aaron Rodgers scale of relative judgment and evaluation, you're not going to be a good team. And it sometimes takes a while, I think, for enough people to see enough throws that makes you wonder what's going on. But the one I keep going back to, Bill, and I think the hardest thing to judge and evaluate, and I think it's where the most people tend to disagree, is the fact that Rodgers and his touchdown interception ratio, and the fact that last week he broke the most consecutive passes without an INT. The debate is fine. That's great that you have this touchdown-interception ratio that's off the charts. But, you know, you have for three consecutive years now, you've been in the bottom five of third-down sacks taken. This year, you are blowing away the record for throwaway passes. And it's like, is Rodgers, he's been inaccurate at times. And at other times, he's been, in my opinion, too tentative to potentially throw the ball into coverage, to the point that his throwaway numbers are insanely at the top of the league. Like, there's nobody within 20 throwaway passes of Aaron Rodgers. That's how many throwaway passes he's had. It's the third year in a row that the Packers rank at the bottom of the league in terms of sacks allowed on third down. So there's you can look at his box score and say, you know, what is it now, 23 touchdowns, 2 interceptions or whatever, and you'd probably say, like, wow, most teams would love for those numbers. But there's stuff hiding behind there, Bill. Third down, especially the throwaways, especially that make I think that paint a fuller picture. So the criticism is warranted. And again, if he was a $10 million per year quarterback, the Packers would have a better roster around him, and so they would be okay with him giving forth league average type performances. But when he's paid what he is, and you can't allocate that money and those resources elsewhere on the roster, they're not going to be good, and that's very much the team that you see here this year.
So we move on from Rodgers, and we look at the rest of this roster and moving forward. Now, David Bakhtiari wants to play. There's other guys that want to play. Should guys that are nursing injuries play?
No, I don't. Now, Joe Philbin's comment, is like, everyone who's healthy is going to play, great. But to what extent is that injury? Like, if this was a must-win game and Rodgers is dealing with a groin and a knee and whatever else, and, you'd say, well, it's not bad enough to keep me out. But David Bakhtiari, Brian Bulaga, you name it, Kenny Clark. I'm not putting Kenny Clark on the field coming back from the elbow that kept him out of the Chicago game. I'm not putting Aaron Rodgers on the field. I am definitely, and I know this about myself when it comes to this stuff, but, like, I definitely typically will take the conservative approach with injuries and with sort of planning for the future. Listen, this is the preseason. These two final games, you don't want to go 0-8 on the road, and if you can go to the Jets and win that game, you avoid that horrendous 0-8 number, on the road this year. But these games are meaningless, Bill. They're meaningless. Like, there's things to evaluate, and I don't mean to say that, like, what Jair Alexander or, like, Josh Jackson, who has a lot to improve on, and, Oren Burks and Josh Jones, and there's Jamal Williams is going to get to be a featured running back, and you want to see improvement from Valdez Scantling and Equanimeous St. Brown, but these games, the result just doesn't matter. So am I putting an injured Kenny Clark on the field or a banged-up Aaron Rodgers on the field? 10 times out of 10, I'm not doing that. Would I maybe give Rodgers a series or two to kind of maybe appease him a little bit? Sure. But I just can't see the value in playing, injured star players more than, well, probably at all, but for sure not very much. It's just the result of these games just doesn't, unfortunately for the Packers, it doesn't matter. So why would you treat it as anything other than a fourth preseason game?
Which I agree. Look, if you don't have to play in this game, I wouldn't be playing in this game. I know, though, a former player like Gary Ellison says, like, look, hey, if I'm going out there and sacrificing my body, I want the guys that are capable of playing to play alongside me. There's a respect factor. There's something to be said for being a leader. Even if you go out and play, maybe you don't play the whole game. Maybe DeShone Kizer comes in after the first quarter or the second quarter and plays the second half. I don't think, unless that groin is really bad, I don't think I'd be playing. I would play Aaron Rodgers, but I don't think I'd be playing him if he has discomfort or it's a very it's a likelihood that he's going to get injured further.
Well, on Sunday in the second half, he clearly had discomfort, right? If I saw a meaningless game and I saw Rodgers walking like he was walking in the second half, he was clearly hobbled. There was clearly something, especially when he threw that Hail Mary pass at the end of the first half. He tweaked something. He was not the same guy the way he was moving around after that. And I think, Bill, you referenced, Gary Ellerson and former players. Like, I totally get why, from a player's perspective, you would want your teammates, whether they're $500,000 a year guys or they're $35 million per year guys like Rodgers, I get why a former player would have that perspective. But it's what Brian Gutekunst and Mark Murphy's job is to bring championships to the Packers. Now, it's the coach's job, Joe Philbin, and the position coaches, to get a win on Sunday, no matter what the circumstances are. And that's what Philbin and his staff should be looking at. What Gutekunst and Murphy have to look at is the long-term future and outlook of this franchise. And you're not winning a Super Bowl this year. You are mathematically 100% not doing that this year. So you're putting yourself at more risk for a Kenny Clark bigger elbow injury or for an Aaron Rodgers bigger, knee injury or whatever else could happen, another break of the collarbone. You don't know. And so I think with this, Bill, when Rodgers came to the podium and said, I want to play these last two games. And then, DeShone Kizer follow-ups on Monday and talks to the media and says, well, sounds like I'm not playing because Rodgers wants to play. I think Rodgers said what he had to say, and I'm not saying he doesn't believe it. I'm sure Aaron Rodgers believes what he said, that he wants to play. But you have to sometimes, unfortunately, protect players from themselves and protect the long-term outlook of your franchise, even if it does, put into question things like leadership or, hey, if Eddie Pleasant can put his body on the line, then Aaron Rodgers should too. But that's just not how it works. These guys are are treated on different scales. And really, the more money that you're making, the more value you have to the long-term outlook of the franchise. And I think you have to, in the shoes of Mark Murphy, in the shoes of Brian Gutekunst, I think you have to override Aaron Rodgers' desires to play. You have to override Joe Philbin's presumed preference to let Aaron Rodgers play and to let Kenny Clark play. I think you have to override that, knowing that this season is now two games of preseason, and you want to be as healthy as possible going into September of next year. And I think you do that by holding these guys who are injured, holding them out, and holding them back from themselves a little bit.
It's going to be a discussion we're going to continue on all throughout the week. Paul, always good stuff, and we'll talk again later in the week, okay?
Thanks, Bill. Sounds
all right,
good.
Pal. Talk to you soon. There you go. Paul Emig, our green and gold analyst, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. That's schneiderjobs.com. We are heading to the big game down in Atlanta, Georgia, and we're going there. Compliments to some of our great friends, our friends down at San Giorgio Pizzeria, on Milwaukee's only Napoletana Pizzeria in North Old World 3rd Street in Milwaukee, right next to the Calderon Club on the corner of Kilbourne down there. Also the home, by the way, the Bill Michaels. The Bill Michaels Pizza. Unreal Pizza. Great service. And make sure when you go in, you say hi to our buddy Gino. And don't forget to pair up the Bill Michaels with Point Beers Brewing, the Cider Boys. They pair it up with the Bill Michaels down there. The first press is fantastic. A true cider type of brew. Check out Cider Boys, and you can pair it up, again, with the pizza down there at San Giorgio. Go to pointbeer.com for all their different brews. And then our friends at Coach's Pub and Grill, home of the Big Boy Burger. Say hi to Cornet. Cornet's a great guy as well. Great specials, awesome fish fries, sports on the TVs, great service down there. The enclosed party deck, South 13th Street in Milwaukee. That is Coach's Pub and Grill. Go to Coach's Pub and the letter N, grill.com. Coach's Pub and Grill.com for their menu and everything they have to offer. An interesting look at some of the numbers from this past Sunday's game. Stay tuned. Coming up right after this.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We'll hear from Joe Philbin coming up here momentarily. Some sad news out of Hollywood today. Top-rated 1970s and 80s sitcom star. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Schlemiel, Schlemazel, Hassan Pfeffer Incorporated, Penny Marshall, who played Laverne, and Laverne and Shirley passed away today at the age of 75. She went on to be a big-time director in Hollywood as well after that series had ended.
Yeah, she did A League of Their Own.
Yeah, and the movie Big.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. She had complications from diabetes, according to Michelle Bega, the spokeswoman for the Marshall family, telling the L.A. Times. She said she died peacefully late last night in her Hollywood Hills home. But, yeah, she ended up passing away at the age of 75. In today's day and age, that's still relatively young. But Penny Marshall co-starred in the Milwaukee Brewery Worker in the 1970s and 80s sitcom Laverne and Shirley, passing away at the age of 75. So that news coming out today. Actually, she died late last night, but the news did not break until today. So even though that was filmed in Hollywood, it was based off of Living in Milwaukee, and it was also a spinoff coming out of Happy Days. So a lot of things coming out of... what was it? Her dad was Gary Marshall, who started all those sitcoms and was such an incredible writer and producer. But her dad, Gary Marshall, ended up putting her in the show Happy Days, and then that became a spinoff, which led to her and Lenny and Squiggy and everybody on Laverne and Shirley. So there you go, passing away. Let's get to Joe Philbin, shall we?
This segment of the Bill Michaels Show is brought to you by Concordia Veterans Services Department, dedicated to preparing veterans to make an impact within their next mission through education. See them at cuw.edu/veterans. Now, let's hear from the coach.
By the way, Gary Marshall was her older brother, not her father. Just an FYI. I stand corrected. Joe Philbin, look, he said this particular loss against the Bears, that's on everybody to get it right.
It's not all on the receiver. It's not all on Aaron Rodgers. It's not all on the O-line. It's on everybody to together a good plan, rep the plan as best we can, and then play as fast as we can when the ball snaps.
Rep the plan. Haven't heard that in a while. That goes back to the Vince Lombardi, Bill Belichickian type of practices. You got to rep the play and get it right. He said there is a lesson to be learned here.
You know, finishing is important. Doing things the right way is important. It's important for them to learn this, not only in these two games. Whatever the outcome is the outcome is. But it's a lesson for them that, you know, hopefully they can take beyond football. You know, in life, you need to finish. You know, you're going to have some tough things happen. Sometimes the ball doesn't always bounce your way. And you can either go home and feel sorry for yourself, or you can, you know, step up and do the best you can and try to make it fun. You know, we said, look, I'm not trying to make this the baton death march, you know.
That's a great bite. I'm not trying to make this the baton death march, but he's right. You got to go home. You got to learn from it. You know, you got to rep this thing. You got to get it over and over and over and over and over again. You got to get it right. And that's about the most emphatic I've heard a head coach in Green Bay for a while since Mike McCarthy pounded the podium and said, I'm a highly successful NFL football coach. Philbin talks about Aaron Rodgers and the groin injury.
The week is early, and we're just, you know, we're going to have to see. I have no idea, you know, what his status will be. Hopefully, he'll be ready to play. But again, nobody's going to go out on that field unless they're physically ready to go out on the field and contribute to the success of the team. We're not going to put somebody out there that's in jeopardy in any way, shape, or form.
Which is a little bit different from what he said on Sunday. Because Sunday he said, look, I expect him to play. Aaron Rodgers said, I expect to play. Now it's like, well, we're going to put people out there that are healthy. You know, so now it's backpedaling a little bit, maybe softening the blow, getting you ready to say, I don't know if Aaron's actually going to play in this ballgame. He's got the groin, he's got the knee. Let's go maybe with Deshaun. He also talked about whether or not Aaron Rodgers would play this week.
In a general sense, my philosophy is that, you know, football players are paid to play football games and football coaches are paid to coach football games. So, you know, obviously we have to go through the week and we would never put any player out there that wasn't physically ready to go. But, you know, that's my general philosophy and overall philosophy, whether it's Aaron Rodgers or anybody else.
Yeah. All right. How are we looking? If he's not healthy, we're not going to put him out there. Again, coming down off of the, yes, I expect him to play battle cry that we heard on Sunday after the ballgame. Now, does he want to see what they actually have in Deshaun Kizer?
We'll make those decisions as we go. Again, my mindset right now, we just had a team meeting, and my mindset is we're going to, like I said yesterday, our plan is to have a great week of preparation. We'll play the guys that are healthy, and our plan is to go play as well as we possibly can Sunday at noon and win a football game, period. So whoever can help us in that end, that's my main objective.
We are going to play the guys who are healthy and whoever can help us in that end. No commitment there. We're going to play the guys who are healthy. We know one guy that is not with the groin. That is Aaron Rodgers. It's starting to sound going to the other side of the pendulum as it swings that way that Aaron Rodgers most likely will not play. Well, we're going to play the guys that are healthy. We're going to play guys that are healthy. Guys that are healthy can help us win. We're not going to put anybody out there that isn't healthy. You get what he's saying? So at this point in time, look, playing every game, even though there are bumps and bruises in the NFL, that's what you sign up for.
And you sign up for a 16-game season, and hopefully you earn the opportunity to extend that and to compete for a championship. Obviously, the extension part is over. That being said, you're a football player, you're part of a team, and your one role is to contribute to the overall success of the team. And the team has an opportunity to win a game Sunday against the New York Jets. And if our players are healthy, they should, A, want to participate. They're good teammates, and they should.
He's absolutely right. Look, hey, this is a 16-game season, it's what you sign up for. There's no guarantee you're going to get the postseason. So when you're eliminated, you still got to go out there with your other guys around you, and you got to play. You know, none of this I'm going to take off because it doesn't mean anything and have everybody else go out there and sacrifice their bodies when you should be out there with them. And Philbin says, hey, look, this is the job.
Again, I think it's bigger than Aaron Rodgers. This is a football team. You're a football player. You're employed by the Green Bay Packers. Just like, you know, if we players or coaches, what's to say? Well, you know, geez, I don't really. I'd like to go home tonight and not prepare as hard for this game because we're not going to the playoffs. I mean, that's not a professional approach to the job, I don't think.
No, it's not. He's absolutely 100% right. Not a professional approach to the job. Also, how is it possible that Aaron Rodgers and the receivers still not on the same page?
But we may have 50 plays in the passing game, right? We probably have more, but let's just throw out a number. And so you may be playing an opponent that has six or seven calls to that personnel group, right? They could have a man, one high man call. They could have a two high man call. They could have a zone call. They could have a zone pressure call. And during the course of the week, you don't necessarily get to practice 50 plays against four or five different looks.
There you have it. Joe Philbin talking yesterday, speaking to the media. Hey, by the way, today marks the 35th anniversary when you had two teams that have since moved, Baltimore and Houston. Baltimore wins 20-10 at the Old Memorial Stadium on 33rd and Edner Street. That crazy dirt, that old dirt that they had there, and what they called the world's largest outdoor insane asylum. And that was under Johnny Unitas. Unitas we stand. Burt Jones, never played in Indiana, by the way. So there you have it. Super Bowl champs at that point, but Baltimore and Houston 35 years ago today. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break. Final segment of the Bill Michaels Show coming up next.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Show on the air. We are glad you are on board today. Hey, don't forget, if you're out and about doing some holiday shopping, our friends at Cousin Subs remind you a $25 gift card fits any size. Any size person. Hell, you can get it for the dogs if you need to. And you can stop in. Not only do you get a $25 gift card, but then they will give you, just for stopping in and buying that, a free 7.5-inch sub. That's the gift that keeps on giving. That is our friends from Cousin Subs. That's a great big how we looking.
You know, I'm watching Aaron Nagler from Cheesehead TV. He's looking at the old 22 film, so he's posting videos on his Twitter account.
Okay.
And, you know, there's a couple of plays on here where, you know, you see it once and then, you know, you think it's on Aaron Rodgers and then you watch it again to confirm that fact. And it really is. I mean, here, I'll show this to you right now, Bill. But the perfect example of the deep ball to Marquez Valdes-Scantling. This is on Rodgers all the way.
Yeah.
Look at this thing. He steps back. He's looking all the way at MVS, and he launches it. You don't see a ton of pressure, and he overshoots him by a mile.
He had Kyle Fuller just flat out beat. He gave him a quick outside-inside move, an inside post, and off he went. And Fuller is two, three steps behind him. And Aaron Rodgers is flat out overshot him.
And then how about this one? Rodgers is scrambling out of the pocket on the run. And again, it's not an easy throw to make.
No, but it's a throw that he has made time and again. He's scrambling off to his right and wide open. Wide open. Used to make that throw effortlessly. Now he just can't see. It's like just things are just sailing on him.
I mean, Randall Cobb is wide open on this crossing pattern.
Yep.
How does he not hit him?
No idea. If you follow Aaron Nagler, go to Aaron Nagler on Twitter, at Aaron Nagler. You can see some of this.
Throw's not even close.
Yeah, but I agree. We talked about that. And look, I was going with, I was reading Bob McGinn Football. It said, even this late in the season, there still doesn't seem to be much as far as chemistry goes between Aaron Rodgers and the young receivers. Equanimeous St. Brown, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, even Jay Kumerow. Of the 39 passes that Rodgers threw to a player, 20 of them went to either Davante Adams or Randall Cobb, where only six were directed to the three younger players. He said, if there's a communication gap, it's long past the time when it should have been fixed by now. Kyle Fuller, a top-flight cornerback. Hard to remember the last time the corner broke up a couple of passes for Davante Adams, but Fuller did. That's when St. Brown beat Fuller on the post early in the 3rd and 9 from Chicago's 23. That was a big deal. That was the hard part. The easy part was for Rodgers, who got out of a clean pocket. All he had to do was deliver the strike. 7-7, but nope, didn't turn out that way. St. Brown never had a chance to catch the football. Marquez Valdes-Scantling played more snaps than St. Brown in each of the first 12 games. Now, despite the right elbow injury that requires a brace, St. Brown played four more snaps last week than almost doubled Marquez Valdes-Scantling's total on Sunday. Adams accounted for the team's three longest gains. It was in his fifth 100-yard game of the season. But, again, he was missed as well. You know, Aaron Rodgers went on to talk about a slot receiver and what Randall Cobb means, but he's missing guys. It doesn't matter who it is. This whole chemistry thing, I get part of it. Okay, I do, because you're talking about when you're scrambling and you're looking for bodies to come back and help you and where they should be, where you want them to go, that's chemistry. But when you're on the run a little bit and guys are running their routes and they're wide open and you're missing them, that is on you. And he's not taking the ownership for it. Just basically. 855-830-8648. You can give us a buzz tomorrow as we continue to chat. Is it really worth it to play Aaron Rodgers these last couple of games? Or let me ask you this, okay? We know what Aaron Rodgers is, and we know he needs to hit the reset button. But DeShone Kizer, should we just get a good look at DeShone Kizer going into next year? You hope he's the real deal so you don't have to put your palm to your forehead and go, oh my God, we need another backup quarterback.
I mean, you made a trade for the guy.
Correct. Also, an old friend, an old voice, but a solid record. Lance Leipold from Buffalo, the former UW-Whitewater head football coach. They are bowl-bound. Going to talk with our old friend. Eric Name of The Athletic covers the Bucks. We're going to chat with him. Paul Emig, our green and gold analyst, he'll be here as well. Until then, though, time for us to go. Have a good one. Zip.
Michael's Sports Talk Network.